let's talk about breakfast foods. I'm DJ Brian, and I'll be back right after this song. Welcome to another episode of K-Pop Connection. It is Friday, the day before Valentine's Day, February 13th, 2026, and we just heard NCT 127 with Breakfast. Now, what are some of your favorites? Some staples in the Western countries include eggs, bacon, cheese, toast, cereal, and the list can go on and on. But maybe it's time to cut one of those items out of the breakfast, you know, genre. More specifically, maybe it's time to cut out the bacon. And you know I love me some bacon. And why, you ask? The crispy, juicy, and intensely smoky golden brown slice of deliciousness has been officially classified as a Group 1 carcinogen by the World Health Organization. Why? That would put bacon in the same category as tobacco and asbestos. Why? Tell me it's a lie. Now, before anyone panics and throws out their breakfast, let's clear something up. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're eating it right now, just one piece is not going to kill you. Don't worry. Now, Group 1 doesn't mean that eating a strip of bacon is a risky little thing, of course, as smoking a pack of cigarettes. The difference is in how much risk you get per exposure. So why bacon, we ask? Processed meats, like bacon, sausages, hot dogs, deli meats, often contain nitrites. Mm-hmm. And these nitrates, when cooked at high heat, add the smoking and curing. And of course, you also get chemicals called PAHs, which are also harmful to our bodies. The research shows a clear pattern. Regular consumption of processed meat increases the risk of colorectal cancer. And nobody wants to know colorectal cancer, y'all. And the risk goes up to the more consistently you guys eat it, even in small daily amounts over time. Now, think of bacon like fireworks. Amazing, unforgettable, but maybe not something you want every single day. You know, your brunch can stay, just maybe not 7 days a week. And maybe when you have brunch, instead of the bacon, you know, opt for something like a side salad, okay? You don't have to have bacon every single time you have breakfast, okay? Now, with a great song to motivate y'all to be healthier, this is Jungkook featuring Lotto with 7. Hey guys, here's a quick announcement on various ways y'all can tune into our show. We have apps you guys can download for free and listen to us conveniently through the KBS Kong, KBS World Radio, and KBS World Radio On Air apps. If you're listening to us via podcast, which can be found on our website or through any podcast app, don't forget to subscribe and rate us 5 stars so more listeners can join in on the fun. And just keep in mind that all the songs are cut out for copyright reasons on podcasts. Also, remember to subscribe and like our YouTube channel, KBS World English. The channel provides 24-hour streaming of all your favorite KBS World Radio programs like KPC, as well as all the shorts featuring all the behind-the-scenes action going on here. So check it out and be in the know. And meanwhile, for all listeners in Malaysia, you guys can enjoy KBS World Radio programs on Malaysia's Astro Radio. Just make sure to download the SYOK Shock app and find KBS World Radio channel for 24-hour non-stop streaming. And for more information, come visit our website world.kbs.co.kr or our gram at KBS K-pop. While you're there, don't forget to post up your song requests, comments, and your answers to our Y2C question of the week for a chance to win a prize. Now, back to our show. And we have more music for you guys. First up, Izna with Super Crush. And then we have 50-50 with Perfect Crime. Would you like a coffee or tea? All right, guys. It is time for you to stop what you're doing. Put your pens down, put your creative juices in a bowl, and put it in a box, put it on pause, because it's not time for you to get creative. It's time for you to just let me be creative or give you information that you might not even care about. But guess what? We're going to tell you anyways. And let that flow in your brain. And if it's something that you didn't know, you can go to your friend's house later on or a bar or wherever it is you're going to meet later and be like, yo, guess what I learned on KPC today? Did you know this and that? This is the time. This is that time. Now, talking about doing things 7 days a week. Did you ever think about how you never seem to have anything to wear? You ever notice that? Everybody. When you go with your friends shopping, you're like, I need to buy a new shirt. And your friends are like, another one? Girl, I never have anything to wear in my closet. But technically, you have like 1,000 t-shirts. We always, always feel that way. But guess what? You are not alone. No, you're not. Choosing an outfit every day quietly drains more brain power than we realize. That's why some famous high performers decided to stop choosing altogether. Let me clear my throat because we got some big names in here. Steve Jobs, rest in peace, had his famous black turtleneck and gray sweaters and sneakers. Now, black, on the black, was it blue jeans, though? Was it black turtleneck and blue jeans or black turtleneck and slacks? I forget what pants he wore. But either way, everyone knows him for his black turtlenecks. And then Mark Zuckerberg, gray t-shirts. Barack Obama and baseball legend Ichiro Suzuki did the same thing, too. And guys, there's a reason schools put uniforms on students as well. Think about it. It's not a fashion statement. It's brain science. It saves time and it saves energy. Now, every decision you make uses the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain responsible for focus, planning, and self-control. But when you make too many decisions, a neurotransmitter called glutamate builds up. According to researchers at France's Paris Brain Institute, too much glutamate actually reduces focus and decision quality. In short, decision overload makes your brain tired. And of course, worse at thinking. That's one reason minimalism is trending, y'all. Fewer choices mean lower stress hormones like cortisol, less mental clutter, and better concentration. Your brain processes less noise and performs more effectively. And it's not just about clothes. Taking breaks between big decisions, writing thoughts down, and getting enough sleep all help reset the brain and clear mental waste. So no, you're not lazy, y'all, for wanting fewer choices. You're just protecting your brain. Okay, you're being smart. One outfit at a time. Now, if you had to wear just one outfit, what would it be? And if you are going to wear one outfit, buy a couple of them so you're not wearing the same thing every day and you smell. Okay, make sure you wash it too. Anyways, we have a great song for you guys to start your laundry at the same time. This is Mino with Choice. Lights, camera, action, baby. I see you looking at my PIC. Stop looking at my PIC and welcome to Lights, Camera, Action. Nael Song is in the studio, still sicker than ever. Why are you sick? Are you not taking your meds? Nael.
Hello, everybody. Do I sound normal now?
No.
Oh.
They can see you on the screen.
Oh, man. Guys, tomorrow's Valentine's Day, though. I'm just hoping that...
Valentine's Day! Valentine's Day! You... It is a man-made holiday when a naked ass... I almost said the word, actual. Naked A, little... What is the thing called?
Cupid?
Oh, Cupid. I forgot his name.
Wow, that could have turned
out really
weird. I
was going to say naked baby.
Oh.
Flies around, shooting arrows, making people fall in love. How is that a thing?
You know what? You're the one who said who wanted a rom-com, so I brought... Well,
I like rom-coms.
I don't know if I would call this a ramen noodle.
Oh, someone's hungry.
Ramen 먹고 갈래? No.
Ramen comedy.
Ramen comedy. No, it's not a comedy, I would say. I'd say it's like a romance...
No, I like romance.
Thriller?
I like all those kind of genres.
Yeah, it's kind of mixed together, all of it.
But think
together.
About it.
Yeah.
A naked baby.
Hmm.
With a naked bow and arrow.
Uh-huh.
Flying around.
With
named
little
Cupid.
Ringlets, blonde ringlets.
And then the Cupid thingy turns around at me and he points at me and says, get ready, you're next. And then I woke up.
I can't tell if this is a good dream where Cupid is threatening to make you fall in love or if it's like a satanic thing where they're trying to come and get
it
you.
It felt very dark and satanic.
Okay.
And the fact that I saw Satan or the visual idea or description of what I felt like
was Satan.
It's
going to be Satan. A really sexy person showing up in your life and enticing you, and it's not going to be a good thing.
I felt like maybe I was chosen to be like the head or the leader of
a cult?
Hell.
A what?
From what I felt from the dream. This is like 8 years ago.
Okay, okay.
8 or 9 years ago.
Okay. You don't
it was
have,
scary.
You don't have a religion that you're leading in like a cult thing.
No, I grew up Christian. I believe in God. I prayed the moment I woke up. I called my pastor and I was like, you know what? I need you to pray for me. This is the dream I had. I explained to him in detail what I saw.
Huh.
It started off good and then, yeah.
I'm going to ask you more detailed questions about your psyche in the later half of the show, but I want to ask you this first. And it sounds like it's like, how is this related to the romance? But it's a related question. Do you remember when there was this moment that you went from being just you and your life kind of shifted to, whoa, people know me. Like, I'm famous now. Where do you have that specific one moment where you're like, oh, I'm famous now? And what did that feel like?
Definitely felt weird.
Yeah.
Because no matter what, especially in the beginning stages, I felt myself as the normal kid from New Jersey who, at that time, just graduated from high school and washed dishes and worked at a sneaker store for like 4 to 5 years and then moved to Korea. So I'm like, whoa, why do you know me? I'm a dishwasher from Ginza Japanese restaurant, or a sneaker salesman from Sneaker Stadium, or the guy from TW Sports says, please keep your arms and legs in the ride at all times and enjoy the ride. Dispatch. That's what I did for 3 different jobs during my summer vacation. And now people are like,
Brian!
Yes, I'm like, why do you know me? I felt.
Oh, I see. So you're kind of confused.
Of course it was confusing. I'm like, wait, did I? And it felt like one of those things like, wait. Did I serve you at the restaurant? Oh, did I sell you shoes before? Or, oh, did I see you at the amusement park back in New Jersey?
Is how I felt. You changed my life, Brian!
And it was weird.
Wow! I get it. You know, I'm kind of famous in Morocco, too. You know, I'm
Morocco!
Really...
Morocco!
Yeah, I'm famous for being that Chinese girl who speaks Arabic and French. I'm Korean, guys. But
Morocco? Is that where you were born?
I wasn't born there, but I lived there for a long time. But
how long is a long time?
Like 10 years?
You lived in Morocco for 10 years?
I grew up in Africa until I came back to Korea when I turned 20, I think. But you know what? All jokes aside, I read somewhere that becoming famous is kind of, in some ways, like a trauma. It's like a shock to your brain because there's such a big change that happens to you overnight. That
it is. And it's a good and bad thing all at the same time, because good thing is, it's like, oh, you know, I could do good for the world. Mm. Bad thing is, even if you do good for the world, you can't just be yourself 100% all the time. Because imagine going out in public and just, you know, trying to feel comfortable and be comfortable.
Right.
And wear the same thing normal people wear in public. And they're like, oh my God, you're famous. You can't be wearing that in public. And you get judged for it.
Yeah. And that's basically, so even if your, I guess, experience with fame is really great and it brought you to amazing places, like, I think it can make somebody very edgy because you always feel like somebody is watching you all the time. And I think it can make you also slightly defensive as well. And leading up to all of that, today's drama is about a girl who wakes up one day and then she's just famous. She went to... she becomes famous over... Well, not overnight.
So it's like almost a comedy?
In some ways. It's a romance. I wouldn't say entirely thriller, but there's some casual, you know, haunting related, so you'll like
haunting!
Yes! Woo! And this is now number one on
right
the
on
Flix,
my alley.
On the non-English global list, and... You know what? What's funny is that I've noticed there's a lot of new content where it's like a collaboration between Korea and Japan where they have a lot of Japanese actors being in Korean dramas or Korean...
Sumimasen.
Okay.
お疲れ様でした, girl.
お疲れ様でした. And so one of the main characters in the drama, he's a Japanese character played by a Japanese actor, Sota Fukushi, and it's filmed in so many different locations outside of Korea, too.
I thought you just swore at me. I was like, I'm glad it was someone's name.
No, that's his name. He's just Japanese. But just like the title, which is 이 사랑 통역이 되나요? Can this love be translated? There's a lot of languages involved in this drama, and the story addresses themes of, I guess, anxiety and fear of being abandoned and panic and what people with anxiety and trauma need to be healed from and need to fully open up to others to really get there. So that's what today's drama is about. Can this love be translated?
Can this love be translated? Mm-hmm. No, it cannot, because love is not real.
What?
Just joking. For some, it is. The love between me and my dog is real.
Aww.
But we got a song
so
for
you. So it can be translated. Woof, woof. Sorry, everyone.
Whoa.
All right, the song.
That's freaky right there. Woof, woof.
Woof, woof.
So the song is not called Woof, Woof.
No.
The song is called Promise.
Yes, it's actually a soundtrack from the drama.
Oh,
it's actually becoming famous now, yeah.
Oh. And it's from an artist named Wonstein. All right, we just listened to Wonstein with Promise, and we're going to talk more about this new, I guess it's like a very weird mixed genre drama.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Again, it's called Can This Love Be Translated? Now, the main characters, you know it.
No, I thought I thought it was called Canvas Love.
Oh, no, Can This Love. I'm sorry, I still have a cold. Can This Love Be Translated? Anyway, the main character, her name is Cha Mui. Interesting name. Yeah, they come up with the most creative names.
That's not the actor's name.
No, not the actor's name. Actor's actually Ko In-jung. Beautiful. She is a once known unknown actress, and she's struggling to become an actress. And then she suddenly becomes a global star, and she suffers from severe childhood trauma, abandonment, anxiety, dissociation, all that fun package. And then she meets this guy, of course, because the romance, Ju Ho-jin. He's actually a multilingual professional interpreter.
Ju-shi in the house.
Yes, I'm just like Ryan, Ju Ho-jin.
My name's not Ho-jin, but
Ho-jin, and his name is he's actually played by Kim Son-ho, and it's a multilingual professional interpreter. He speaks like four languages, and it's super random. He speaks Italian, Japanese, English, and something
Buongiorno.
Else. Basically, he's kind of chill, quiet, calm, and emotionally very restrained. He's very like he's a responsible guy. He's like an upright, standing man. And then you have the Japanese guy who comes in, and he's a famous Japanese romantic drama actor. He initially dislikes the main character, but then, you know, love and hate, it's just like a piece of paper.
He's got the very stereotypical Japanese name.
Yeah. Hiro. Yes, that's his name. But, you know, what happens when you hate somebody for a long time, but then, you know, they're really pretty, and then one moment you just kind of look at them and like,
you stab them?
You love them.
Oh!
And so,
I don't know.
He serves as a contrast to the main guy. So the main guy is like, you know, kind of calm and chill, but responsible. This guy's very like expressive, just emotionally very, you know, forward. But
and then you shoot them in the face?
No, not yet. No, not yet. But he's a lot less emotionally attuned, so maybe shooting the hearts.
You just spread acid on their face.
Acid on their hearts. How I'm going to interpret it and move on. But the plot of this, the three people I just explained, she basically meets this guy, the translator guy, while she's still an unknown actress, and she goes to Japan, and she's trying to like confront her ex-boyfriend who cheated on her, and it becomes just this really embarrassing situation. But this translator guy who just happens to be there interprets for her, and then, you know, she's like, thank you, and then they go out to dinner, and then they just
she needed closure,
and then they part ways, and she's still an unknown actress, but she
goes, what do you get from closure though, for real though?
You move on and you're happier. Anyway, she moves on, but she gets into a car accident. Dun dun! And then she falls into this coma, and she wakes up, and then she's famous. What happened? The movie that she did before she fell into a coma got like global hits, and then so she's now famous after she wakes up.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that's kind of traumatic, don't you think? And
but does she doesn't have like amnesia or anything? She knows who she is, right?
She knows who she is, but she does have some psychological.
Don't go into it more.
Interesting things that happen. But because she's so famous and now she has to go around doing interviews and things like that in other languages, who appears, the interpreter, the cute interpreter guy she runs into in Japan. Oh. He becomes her interpreter for international interview. And then
Hiro.
Hiro actually comes into the picture when she does like this reality TV show abroad. And you know, when people just travel together and they film you and feed you. Yeah, she's in that with this guy, Hiro.
They feed you?
Yeah. And you get paid for it. Please, like, hit me up if you want me to go travel somewhere and get, you want to feed me. And
not right now, though. She's sick.
Yeah,
you don't want to travel with her right now.
So anyway, they filmed this reality show in Canada, and then they kind of had like this love triangle thing going where this guy kind of, the Japanese guy likes her, and then the interpreter guy also likes her, but he also has his past. It's complicated. But like we said, because there's so much trauma in this girl's life, she's kind of haunted. And when you see the thing that is haunting her, it looks exactly like her. It's her own character that she played in the kind of the horror-ish movie. And like, she just comes out looking super creepy and telling her all these negative things like, oh, you should leave him because, you know, she's not good for you. And just basically getting haunted by her own voice and face all the time. And this new media attention that she gets overnight is super stressful. And having a relationship, not that I know what that's like, having a relationship with someone when everybody is watching you is a lot of pressure, according to this drama. Right, Brian?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. Okay, so neither of
us know. What is a relationship?
It's a good question. But basically, because of all this trauma and she's anxious that this guy's going to leave her, the interpreter guy, and this haunting ghost is telling her, like, you should leave because you're no good for
him. There's a ghost, too?
It's the haunt.
This drama is everywhere.
So it's not entirely a ghost, per se, but it's like a hallucination of some sort. It's a character of hallucination.
Is it like one of the, what's that thing called? You got your evil and your good?
Yeah, it's basically that. She's dissociating. And so she's seeing herself in an image, playing a different character, and like telling her all these things. And I'm not going to tell you the deep trauma, and
because
it's like
a spoiler.
Don't give it away too
much. Yeah.
But basically, it's how she works through all of that, all the new trauma, the old trauma, the dissociation, and still like manages to maintain a relationship with someone. Because when you're anxious, it's so hard to hold on to somebody, I mean, let alone yourself, because you're just flying off the walls everywhere. Mm. And it kind of showed a lot of that in the drama. And I thought it had a lot of good things to say about people who are suffering from trauma and anxiety.
Okay. So for those of you guys hopefully out there not suffering from trauma and anxiety, we got music for you now. What are the next two songs, the relation to the drama?
They're actually the soundtracks from the drama as well. The first one is by Wendy, and then the second one by We Are the Night.
All right, Wendy singing a song called Daydream, and We Are the Night. The song is called Goodbye. So we're back from listening to Goodbye, We Are the Night. Yes. We're talking about this drama that you guys, it's pretty much everywhere. Like, I'm talking about everywhere as like the genre. It's everywhere. We got ghosts. She thinks she sees a ghost. She got a translator involved. She's trying to get closure. Then she gets into a coma. Then she's famous. So I don't know where to categorize this genre of drama.
It's somewhere between a romance and a psych thriller.
Okay, I was thinking of that one movie that won an award a long time ago with Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
Everything Everywhere at Once or something like that, that movie.
You know what? Not that, like, I wouldn't call it as, you know, colorful as that in terms of, like, the CGI and things like that. But in terms of the trauma that they're dealing with and how it's,
it's that kind of vibe?
In some ways,
I didn't see that movie either, but I saw the previews. So.
Oh. So, yeah, in some ways, yeah, you're kind of getting haunted by your own, trauma. Yeah. So, it's really working through the past things. But just every time the main character feels like she's getting closer to loving someone or being loved by someone, she falls into this like trance of like, I can't do this, I'm panicking, I'm gonna get abandoned again. And so yeah, it's her journey of finding stability again.
Okay.
Anyway, today's question of the day, I guess more than the would you rather, I guess which one would you say this is you? You know the love languages, the five love language, I think? The
gift giving.
Yeah, quality
words
time.
Words of affirmation.
Yep. Acts of service, words of affirmation, yeah. Touch. Which one would you say is you? When do you feel the
Me?
Most loved? Yeah.
When do I feel loved?
Yeah.
Or what do you think is my
love language? How do you show that to other people? Or both?
I think my love language is gift giving.
Ooh.
And what was the other four?
Quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, gift, touch.
I wouldn't say sometimes acts of service. Mm. Quality time, I can't do a lot because of being busy, even though I try. But for me, I like quality time if someone's showing me love.
Mm-hmm.
And acts of service.
Ooh,
you know,
that's
sometimes
a good one.
Everyone loves gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, a gift could be something different. It could be something you put your heart into.
Hmm.
But for me, I'm one of those people, like, even if it's a cheaper gift or expensive gift, knowing that I put my time and thought into it.
Aww.
And when I give the gift to somebody and I see their reaction to it, it makes me feel good as well.
Aww.
But I've been in a situation where I give a gift and people are like, oh, cool, thanks. I'm like, that's it? That's the reaction I'm getting for something I was looking online all day for and then going to the store and
Aww.
Then picking it out, looking at it, thinking, trying it on myself to see if it looks good on you or having the worker try it on. Hey,
wow.
What size are you? Oh, I'm a 4 in a women's. All right, can you try it on? Do you like it? Would you say a girl in their 30s or 40s, like even for like birthday gifts, like I do that kind of stuff when I buy gifts for friends too, like because I love my friends, but I think that's my love language.
Oh, I think this drama, when you watch it, you kind of think about, okay, what do people need in order to feel a little more loved? In this girl's case, I think it's just being there and words of affirmation. Hey, I'm not going anywhere. And I think we all need a little bit of love in that way. Yeah,
and that's why you prepared this last song.
Yes, that's right.
By Melomance.
Exactly. And it's called Love Language.
And we'll see you next week. And hopefully you'll bring an actual
rom-com.
Yeah!
All right. We'll bring you a rom-com next week.
And hope you feel better.
Thank you.
That is all the time that we have for y'all tonight. And we have a great song taking us out. We have Yoon Mi Re with Breath or Soom. Our producer is Cherung Kwon. Our writer is Karen Choi. And I'm DJ Brian. And this has been K-Pop Connection. You may disconnect now. 내 주머니에